From the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord is good. And all the time. Amen. This morning, the Lord is going to bless you. Tell your friend, the Lord is going to bless you. Amen. Our theme for this year is a glorious church to possess the nations. A glorious church to possess the nations. And we'll be looking at a lot on this as the Lord gives us grace in this year. Amen. So this morning, I just want to just build you slightly on one of the topics as we prepare ourselves for the upcoming convention. Hallelujah. The Divine Empowerment Convention. So this morning, I want to talk about the theme, Experiencing the Glory in the Church. Experiencing the glory in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul said that glory will be in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. Experiencing the glory in the church. You see, when we talk about glory, glory is basically great praise, honor, or splendor. Talk about glory. In fact, in Psalm 19, verse 1, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of his hands. So when we talk about the glory of God, then we are talking about the splendor that comes from him. Hallelujah. The honor, the praise, the splendor that comes from God is called the glory of God. Amen. For us, when we are talking about the glory of God, then we are talking about the physical manifestation of God's presence among his people. The physical manifestation of God's presence among his people. In the Old Testament, the physical manifestation of God's presence among his people normally comes in a form of a cloud that we call the cloud of glory or the glory cloud. Anytime that the people of God sees the cloud or the glory cloud or the cloud of glory, then they are convinced that the Lord is with them. Hallelujah. This morning, may you receive the cloud of God upon your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, for us, the glory of God is the tangible presence of God's anointing upon our lives for service. The tangible presence. So when the choir, Deacon Alfred is here, Sister Sandra is here, and then they lead us into the throne room of grace, then you say that, hey, the glory upon Sister Sandra, Brother Alfred was very great. It is a tangible, obviously the tangible presence of God's anointing for service. That anointing, when it comes upon you and then you deliver, people see the honor, the splendor, the praise that God has bestowed on you. Hallelujah. Amen. So in the Old Testament, we see that this glory is in the form of a cloud. And there are so many names that has been given to this glory cloud that I want us to look at it. Amen. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 22, we read very quickly, Exodus 13, 22, when the Israelites were about to leave, they have taken the Passover, and then they are about to leave the land of slavery into the promised land that the Lord God Almighty has promised them. What happened? Exodus 13, 22.
Exodus 13, 22. Mm-hmm. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people.
Amen. So the glory cloud, one of the names is called the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. Amen. The pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. Amen. This one I want King James Version. Exodus 33:9. So we are looking at various names that is given to the glory of God, the glory cloud. It's called the pillar of fire or the pillar of what? KJV. Pillar. Other versions will say the cloud of pillar. That is why I wanted the King James Version. It's the only King James which uses the cloudy word pillar. So another name for the glory cloud is called the cloudy pillar. Amen. Cloudy pillar. Go to NIV. Exodus 33, the same place, 14 to 15. NIV. Exodus 33, 14 to 15.
Exodus 33, verse 14. The Lord replied, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here.
Amen. So another name is also called what? The presence of God. So the cloudy, the glory cloud is given the name the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire or just the cloudy pillar or the presence of God. Exodus 34:5. Exodus 34:5. NIV.
Exodus 34:5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name.
So another name is also called the cloud. Just the cloud. The cloud. So when you see the cloud, then you know that this is the glory of God. Leviticus 16:2. NIV. Leviticus 16:2.
The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die.
Amen. So this one, we have the Holy of Holies. We have the tabernacle, which has been built by Moses. And then the tabernacle has been divided into three sections. We have the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies, where we have the Ark of the Covenant there. And God is telling Moses that, don't tell your brother Aaron that he cannot come here anyhow, this place. Because this place on the Ark of the Covenant, there is always a cloud on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. And that is where I, the Lord, I will always meet with the people. So this is what the theologians call the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory. It is the glory that is in the cloud that covers the Ark of the Covenant. It rests on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. So the Shekinah glory. Amen. Then we have Numbers 10:34. NIV. Numbers 10:34.
The cloud of the Lord was over them by day, and when they set out from the camp. Amen.
Amen. So it's called what? The cloud word of the Lord. So we have several names. We have the pillar of cloud or the pillar of what? Fire. We have the cloudy pillar. We have the presence of God or just the cloud or the Shekinah glory of God or just the cloud of the Lord. So all these names are the names that is being given to the glory that God demonstrated in the past. I pray to the Almighty God that you receive this glory this morning. In the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, how do we describe this glory? What is the visible description of this glory that we are talking about so that we will be yearning that we will experience this glory in the church and in our lives? Ezekiel, help us to understand this kind of glory that we are talking about. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, Now, what happened is that Ezekiel was at the river Kebar, K-E-B-R-A. And I love what he said. Have you seen? He said that when he was there, the Lord revealed so many things to him in vision. And then when you come to the verse 4 of Ezekiel 1, he said that, I look and then I saw. I love that one so much. I look and then what? I saw. Or I watch and then I saw. This is how the prophet talk. Now, prophet Elisha said that, I look and I saw that there was a flag, blue, white, and it is, meaning that MPP will be in power. I say, I look and I saw. Amen. I look and what? I saw. Aha. This is how the prophet did talk. So when I read this in Ezekiel 1, we say that I look and then what? I saw. Amen. So the verse 26 to 28, Ezekiel describes so many things. He saw so many things, the chariot, he saw the wheel, different kinds of creatures having the face of an eagle, having the face of an ox, having a face of a perfect man, having a face of a lion. He described so many things. Then in the verse 26, he said that he saw something in the vault. What did he see? 26-28, Ezekiel 1.
Above the surface was something that...
So above the vault, or in the firmament, in the sky...
Was something that looked like a throne...
Was something that looks like the throne of God.
Made of blue lapis lazuli.
Lapis lazuli.
And on this throne, high above, was a figure...
Lapis lazuli is a mineral, which are different colors. Mainly, it gives the royal color.
And on this throne, high above, was a figure whose appearance resembled a man. From what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like fire. And from his waist down, he looked like a burning flame, shining with splendor.
Amen. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel is describing the glory of the Lord to us. Continue. You have not ended.
Verse 28.
All around him.
Was a glowing halo. Glowing halo. Like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of
the Lord looks like.
To me.
Amen. Don't add the other one. We'll look at that one later. This is what the glory of the Lord looks like to me. So Ezekiel is describing what the glory of the Lord looks like. He says that when he looked, he said that he looked and he saw. So when he looked into the vault, he realized or he saw that there was a throne. And the one who sits on this throne is a man. He described this man. This man that he described is the same man that John also described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. So it tells us that this man that Ezekiel saw is the same man that John saw in Revelation. And that man is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then he said that when he looked at this man, the man was having the waist coming down, shining, the eyes, so many things. And then the glow around this man was like the rainbow, which we normally see during raining time. Hallelujah. So the glory of the Lord is like what? A rainbow. Amen. It's very beautiful. Hallelujah. See that it's like what? A rainbow. Do you know how rainbows are being produced? You see, rainbow is a meteorological phenomenon that normally occurs as a result of reflection, refraction, and dispersion of white light by water droplets. When it rains, obviously, you have white light. The light that we see, the visible light, white light. And this white light have an encounter with the water droplet. There is dispersion, and that dispersion brings out colors. And the colors that we see is what you call what? The rainbow. They are seven colors. The royal beef. Are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. So the royal beef. R-O-Y-G-B-I-V. Have you seen the royal beef? Seven colors. So you see that when you see the glory of the Lord is seven colors. Those who do physics and science in school, you can produce these colors very easily. If you have a triangular prism and you have a monochromatic light with a collimator, and then you direct the light to incident on this triangular prism, there is dispersion, and then you get all these white light, all these colors, the royal beef. You'll be able to calculate the angle of deviation and all those kind of stuff. So those who do is how the repeating this glory, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, shine, shine, shine. So it just flicks like that. And Ezekiel said, this is how the glory of the Lord looks like. I pray that you have this beauty of Jesus Christ upon your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the glory of the Lord. Amen. Good. Now, we want to look at the theological definitions of the glory of the Lord, or what is called the glory. The glory of the Lord has two definitions. In the Old Testament, it comes from the Greek word kabod, or kabode, K-A-W-B-O-D-E, asengu. Have you seen it? That is this thing on the, that is French. Have you seen it? Asengu. So, kabode or kabod. It has two meanings. The first meaning is that it either mean praise or honor. So when you say the glory of God, we are talking about the praise of God or the honor of God. It is normally attributed to when you have abundance, when you have what? Plenty. So like in Genesis chapter 45 verse 13, when Joseph told the brothers that, go and tell my father, and tell him all the honor that you have seen concerning everything that the Lord has given to me. So the word honor there is glory. Hallelujah. And also in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 6, Ezekiel was saying that it is the Lord God who has delivered us from Egypt, and he is sending us to a land which is flowing with milk and honey. And that land has a glory on it. Amen. Other versions, we use the word best. Best. But that is what? The glory. So it is linked to the abundance. Obviously, the material evidence that what we see. Amen. So this is what we have in the Old Testament. The other definition also is the splendor, brilliance, which comes from the Lord. The splendor, what? Brilliance, that comes from the Lord. And that was what Ezekiel described in Ezekiel 1:28, that the glory of the Lord is a splendor, obviously, which looks like a rainbow during the raining what, time. Obviously, so it's a splendor that what we see. So in the Old Testament, this is the name that we give what? The glory of God, kabode, which means praise and glory. And another one is also the splendor, brilliance of the Lord. Amen. In the New Testament, the same word glory, have you seen it? Is having the name called dosa. Dosa, D-O-X-A, dosa. It is the word that we derive the word doxology. Have you seen it? Dosa, glory. It also has almost the same meaning, two meanings, as that one in the Old Testament. It also means praise and honor. Praise and what? Honor. Praise and honor. So if you look at John chapter 5, verse 41, and then John chapter 5, verse 44, if you can read it for us. John 5, 41. And John 5, 44. What does he say? Dosa. John 5, 41. Mm-hmm. We have to move very fast because I have a lot to share.
John 5, 41. Mm-hmm. Your approval means nothing to me.
So Jesus is saying that your approval means nothing to me.
44.
John 5, 41. Is that all?
Yes.
Well, which version are you reading?
NLT.
Ah, read NIV. John 5, 41. Your approval means nothing. It doesn't say anything. John 5, 41.
I do not accept glory from human beings.
I do not accept glory. I know what? Accept glory. So the word there is dosa. John 5, 44. Mm-hmm. 44.
Verse 44. Mm-hmm. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another?
How can you be since you accept glory from what? Another person. But do then not, the word praise, John 9, 24. John 9, 24.
John 9, 24.
Mm-hmm.
A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind.
Mm-hmm.
Give glory to God by telling
him. He said, I give glory to God. Give the praise to God. Don't give it to Jesus Christ. You know this story. The man who was blind, and then Jesus Christ healed him. And who healed? He said that Jesus Christ, disciples, said that we don't want to be his disciples. We are disciples of Moses. Uh-huh. So they are telling the man that don't give glory to this man, Jesus. Don't give the praise to him because he is what? A sinner. So the word they are, dosa, glory. Then the same thing in John chapter 12, verse 43. John 12, 43.
John 12, 43.
Mm-hmm.
For they loved human praise more than praise
so
from God.
They love what? Human praise. Human what? Glory. More than the glory of what? Of God. So glory here is translated as praise and honor. Praise and what? Honor. Here too, in the New Testament too, it is also associated with material abundance as well as the Old Testament. So if you read Revelations chapter 21 verse 24, the Bible says, and the kings of the world, have you seen it, will bring their glory to the Lord or to worship the Lord. Have you seen it? Uh-huh. So they will bring their glory. Also associated with what? Material abundance. The second definition in the New Testament is also the brilliant splendor of God. So when you read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, he said that Jesus Christ, have you seen it, is the brightness of God. Jesus Christ is what? The brightness of God's glory. Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. So this is the theological definition of glory. So when I'm talking about the glory, like there should be glory in the church, then we are saying that there should be honor in the church. There should be praise in the church. There should be splendor in the church. The church should be beautiful. Hallelujah. The church should be what? Attractive. The church should be what? Magnificent. May the Lord make you glorious. In the name of the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, experiencing the glory of the Lord. Follow me gradually, you will understand a lot of things. Now, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the glory of the Lord appeared in so many forms or in so many ways. The first time that we saw the glory of the Lord was what we read in Exodus chapter 13 verse 22, the first time that we read. So immediately that the Israelites left Succoth, have you seen it, towards the promised land. The Bible said that God presented himself to them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So this was the first time that the glory of the Lord came, or the people of Israel saw the glory of God as the manifestation, the manifest presence of God among them. Now, what happened is that in the process of time, God also confirmed his covenant with them. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 15, told all the people. And then around the mountain was the glory of God. Hallelujah. So the Israelites were always having the glory of God as a result of the fact that the Lord God Almighty is with them. Amen. As time progressed, the Lord God Almighty gave commandment to Moses for Moses to build the tabernacle. And after Moses has finished building the tabernacle, dividing into three parts, bringing the bronze altar of incense and all those, the table of showbread, the ark of the covenant, and all the utensils, setting it in the tabernacle of the Lord. The Bible said that the glory of the Lord descended upon the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 to 35. The glory of the Lord descended on the tabernacle. Amen. I pray that the glory of the Lord will descend upon our church. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So as God was with his people, it got to a point in time that David said that, how can I live in a house? And then the ark of the covenant of the Lord will be somewhere. So with this, David planned to build a temple for the Lord. However, God did not give him the chance to build a temple. But God asked his son Solomon to build the temple. Now, after Solomon has built the temple, the Bible said that he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, which was in Zion, into the temple. And the day that Solomon brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord came upon the temple. Hallelujah. We can read that one. I think this one will be good. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. Those who also want to do more research, you can also read 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. 1 Kings 8, 10 to 11. So 2 Chronicles 5, 13 to 11. Sorry, 13 to 14. Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 to 14.
Mm-hmm. 14.
The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison.
So after they have brought the Ark of the Covenant, all the musicians, Judith and Co., all of them, they brought their trumpet, with Eleazar sitting at the organ, and then started playing it. And what happened?
And musicians joined in unison to give praise.
And all the Alfred and people and the whole church joined in unison. And then they started singing.
To give praise and thanks to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments.
Mm-hmm.
The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang.
Mm-hmm.
He is good.
Mm-hmm.
His love endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud.
And the temple of the Lord was what? Filled what? With the cloud. We have understood, or we have explained to ourselves, that the cloud is the glory of what? God. So the temple was filled with the glory of God. Amen. This was when the temple has been completed. And then they are bringing in the things inside. So they brought the Ark of the Covenant and they are very happy about it. But what happened in the process of time? When they have finished everything, like when we finished this building and we came here during our summer convention, the glory of the Lord filled the church the first time. Then when chairman came and did the commissioning, the glory of the Lord also came back again. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 to 3, during the dedication of the same temple, the Bible said that the glory of the Lord also came upon the church again. It filled the whole church. And even that time, even the whole people, including the priests, were not even able to enter the temple. They could not execute their priesthood or duties because the glory of God is very heavy. It has a lot of weight. You cannot enter. You cannot enter the glory of the Lord. When it comes upon you, everything lies prostrate. I pray to Lord God Almighty that your life be filled with the glory of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It filled the the temple. Amen. The same thing also happened in the New Testament, even in heaven, in Revelation. Look at it. The same thing that we see in Revelation chapter 15, verse 5-8. Look at it. The same thing. The temple in heaven. The same thing that happened in Solomon's day also happened in heaven. Revelation 5. Revelation 15, 5-8.
Okay. Revelation 15, 5-8. Mm-hmm. After this, I looked.
Oh, you see, I love the word. I look and I saw.
The tabernacle of the covenant law.
That is the tabernacle of the covenant. And what happened there?
And it was opened.
And it was opened. The church was opened.
Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues.
Mm-hmm.
They were dressed in clean, shining linen
mm-hmm.
and wore golden sashes around their chests.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of the four living creatures
mm-hmm.
gave to the seven angels
mm-hmm.
seven golden bowls
mm-hmm.
filled with the wrath of God,
mm-hmm.
who lives forever and ever.
8.
And the temple was filled with smoke.
And the temple was filled with Exodus. Yeah. So the glory of God is power. So when we are talking about a glorious church, we are talking about a powerful church. Amen. And you see, the church that we are talking, the church is people. We are not talking about the temple that we see. No, we are talking about you. So when we are saying that the church was filled with glory, with power, then we are saying that you were filled with power and glory. May the power and the glory of God come upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It was filled with that. It's so interesting that in the same heaven, the glory was so great that they don't need even light. Just the glory of God, Jesus Christ, is able to give the whole place light. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 and 23. Look at it. Revelation 21, 22 and 23.
Revelation 21, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see a temple in the city.
I did not see a temple in the city. Because you are the temple. So you don't need to see any physical temple. You are the temple. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of God. So you don't need a physical temple. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. What happened with the temple?
The city does not need the sun or the
because
moon.
The Lord God Almighty is there. He is full of glory. The city don't need sun. They don't need light.
Or the moon to shine.
Or the moon to shine.
For the glory of the Lord gives it light.
For the glory of the Lord gives it light. I pray that the glory of the Lord will come upon you. When you have the glory around you, wherever that you go and there is darkness, you go there and then there is light. Amen. That's how it is. The glory of the Lord gives what? Light. Hallelujah. So this is the Old and the New Testament experiences of the glory of the Lord by the people of God. And this is what we are praying that this year and the year ahead of us, our church will be glorious. Amen. That is, you will be glorious. Amen. Hallelujah. Good. Amen. Now, you see, this glory of the Lord, according to Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, it is Jesus Christ. Oh. It is Jesus Christ. Let us read so that we explain. Revelation 10:1. Look at it. Revelation 10:1. Revelation 10:1.
Revelation 10:1.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw another mighty angel.
You see, I saw another mighty angel. Obviously, the angel is all mighty. So this mighty angel is Jesus Christ. How do we know that this mighty angel is Jesus Christ?
Coming down from heaven.
See, that this mighty angel was coming down from heaven.
He was robed in a cloud.
He was robed in glory in a cloud.
Mm-hmm. With the rainbow above his head.
With the rainbow above his head. We have described about the rainbow. Uh-huh.
His face was like the sun.
His face was like the sun.
And his legs were like fiery pillars.
And his legs was like the fiery furnace. If you compare this angel that we see in Revelation 10:1 to the description that John gives in Revelation 1, 12 to 16, you find out that this angel is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A man of glory. Amen. So now we see that God's name is that he is glorious. Powerful. Now, anytime that people experience or they see the glory of God, their reaction or their response towards God changes. Amen. Their what? Reactions. Towards God what? Changes. And I pray that we will see the glory of God. Amen. That was why you see Paul was able to say that I may know him, that I may see his glory. I may know him. I may know him. He knows the Lord already. Huh? But he said that I may know him. Huh? And the fellowship of his suffering, which is conforming to in his death. When you see Jesus, huh, the glorious Jesus, the glorified Jesus, everything about you changes. And your response also changes. Let us see the response of other people in the Bible when they encounter the glory of the Lord. And I pray that as we study these people and their reaction towards God, we will also have a different perception of how we see our God. Hallelujah. Let us see the first person, Moses. You cannot take Moses out. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. We are going to read the 6. Now, this was when Moses was tendering the flock of his in-law, Jethro. And all of a sudden, he saw a bush which was on fire. But the bush was not consumed. Where is this? Okay. please take that one out. The bush was not consumed. Amen. The bush was not consumed. It was on fire, but it was not consumed. And then he wanted to see it. Amen. That bush was the glory of God. The glory of God always brings what? Attraction. So when it attracted him, and then he wanted to see, why is it that the bush is on fire, but it is not consumed? What happened? What was his reaction? Exodus chapter 3, verse 6.
Then he said.
I
am the God of your father.
So God is telling Moses that I am the God of your father.
The God of Abraham.
The God of Abraham.
The God of Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And the God of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God.
So when he saw this and he heard the voice of the Lord, Moses hid his face. He put his face down because he didn't want it, because it was too heavy. Hallelujah. Amen. He hid his face. Judges chapter 6, verse 20 to 23. The 23 is the one that we are going to read. This one was about a man called Gideon. Gideon was also threshing wheat. And all of a sudden, the angel of God appeared there. And then there was a discourse between Gideon and then the angel of the Lord. And then what happened was that the angel of the Lord said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, blah, 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 so many things. And Gideon said, why are you calling me that? Am I a mighty man? And the angel of the Lord said that, oh, the Lord God Almighty is with you. That even made even Gideon to become anointed. Cry. So is the Lord with us? Is the presence of God with us? If the Lord is with us, then why is it that every time that we work and we suffer, and after we are about to enjoy, then the Midianite will come and then pounce on us and take everything away? I cannot believe what you are saying. And then the Lord God Almighty, through the angel, was still communicating to Gideon that I want to use you to deliver my people. And they said, I cannot deliver that. Me, I don't have any strength. And the Lord said that you have strength. He said that you know something. You, these angels, when we tell you something, you don't want to believe. I said, I cannot do that. If you let me tell you, for me, I am from the least clan, Manasseh. I am very, very weak. There is no way, if you don't know, I want to explain things to you. Oh, sometimes I want to explain things to the Lord. But the Lord knows everything. Hallelujah. We don't need to explain anything to the Lord. Amen. So after that discourse, then the angel of the Lord, Gideon said that, okay, you know something. If that's what you are saying, you just be here. I am going to bring a sacrifice. And then I am going to put this sacrifice on this rock. I want you to bring fire. Then I'll be able to believe. He did the fleece, all those things. Maybe one day we'll talk about that. So when this thing happens, something happened, and let's see what happened. Yeah, read the verse 23.
Judges chapter 6, verse 23.
Yes.
But the Lord said to him.
Peace.
Do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to die.
So read the verse 22 so that we understand the verse 22.
Verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face."
No, we will not understand it well. Go to the 20 and read it. Yes, the 20.
The angel of God said to him,
mm-hmm.
"Take the meat and the unleavened bread."
Yeah, take all that you have brought, the sacrifice.
Place them on this rock.
And put them on this rock.
And pour out the broth.
And then pour everything on it. Mm-hmm.
And Gideon did so.
And what happened?
Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat.
Then the angel of the Lord touched it.
And the unleavened bread, and with the tip of the staff that was in his hand.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Fire fled from the rock. Consuming the meat and
consuming
the bread,
everything.
And the angel of the Lord disappeared.
And the angel of the Lord was just displaying in the smoke and the fire. Mm-hmm. And when Gideon said, "Aye! This is the glory of the Lord. I have seen what I'm not supposed to see." What happened?
When Gideon saw this, he exclaimed.
He exclaimed, "Alas!
Alas, sovereign Lord!
Alas, sovereign Lord!
I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face."
And the Lord said that you are not going to die. Hallelujah. So when they see the Lord, their response changes. Beloved, when you see the Lord, your response will change. Amen. You cannot see the glory of the Lord and still be standing. No. It will be impossible. It's either you say something or you hide your face like what? Moses. Hallelujah. What happened when Ezekiel saw that this is the glory of the Lord? What did he do? The last verse, verse 28.
Ezekiel 1:28.
Mm-hmm.
Like the appearance of the rainbow and the clouds on a rainy day,
mm-hmm.
so was the radiance around him.
So was the, this one is the NLT. I don't like the other. Yeah, but it's okay. You continue. So was the radiance of
around him.
Mm-hmm.
This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord.
This was like the appearance of the glory of the Lord. And what did he do?
When I saw it,
he said that when I saw this glory of the Lord,
I fell face down. And I heard the voice of the one
speaking. When he saw the glory of the Lord, he fell face down. He put his face down. He could not look at the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 44, verse 4, the same thing. He saw it two times. What did he do? Ezekiel 44, 4. Mm-hmm.
Then the man brought me by the way of the north gate
mm-hmm.
to the front of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
I looked and saw the glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord. And what did you do?
Filling the temple of the Lord. And I fell face down.
Anytime that he sees the glory of the Lord, he could not stand. I pray that this morning we will see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what we need in the church. You leave everything prostrate. That's why you see that all the angels fall prostrate before the Lord. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Isaiah also saw the glory of the Lord. He said that in the year that King Hosea died, he, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting between the cherubims, holding power, very glorious and splendorous. Isaiah 6, 1 to 6. And then verse 5, Isaiah said that when I saw this glorious God, what was my response? Verse 5.
Mm-hmm. Woe to me.
Then Isaiah said, "Woe to me."
I cried. I am ruined.
I'm dead now.
For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people.
Wicked people. So when he saw the glory, he said, "Hey, what am I seeing? I don't need to see, because the glory is very holy. You cannot see it with aberrations or contaminations around. It's impossible." That is why, you see, the last time I have preached this message somewhere that on the judgment day, I was explaining to a congregation that the Bible said on the judgment day, the Lord is going to test our works with fire. And the works which abides is the works that he's going to reward us. So if our works are wood, hay, and straw, it is going to burn. But if our works are gold, silver, and precious stone, then it's going to withstand. You can read this one from 1 Corinthians chapter, 14 to 15. Now, I was telling them that it's not that the Lord is going to bring fire out. But according to Revelation, the Bible says that when you look at the eyes of Jesus, it shines like the sun in its power, in its strength. And the sun is about 150 million miles away from the earth. 150 million miles away from the earth. If the sun is even 1 million miles away from the earth, all of us will burn. All of us will burn. It is a burning gas. Everybody is going to burn. Very, very hot. So if Jesus Christ's eyes shines more than all, like the strength of the sun, then when he looks at you, when you appear before the Bema seat, you stand at the Bema seat of Jesus Christ, and then he looks at you, as he looks at you, everything around you begin to burn. So if it is wood, it start burning. If it is hay, it start burning. If it is straw, it start burning. But when it is gold, and then it burns, the gang around the gold, all of them burns, and the gold will now become more brighter and brighter and brighter. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that as Jesus Christ looks at us, every aberration, every chaff, it will burn away. And what is glorious is going to be seen. Hallelujah. So when Isaiah saw that, he said that, I am a man of unclean lips. You cannot see Jesus and then keep quiet. It is impossible. It's not going to what happen. Hallelujah. The Israelite on the wilderness. Exodus chapter 33, verse 9 to 10. Exodus 33, verse 9 to 10. When they saw the glory of the Lord, the Israelite on the wilderness, the Bible said that, all of them, they worship the Lord. They worship the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why sometimes our sister will say that. So the Church of Pentecost, the church was trying to encourage people that the worship must be spontaneous. That is why most times we don't tell you to stand up. But you yourself have to know that you have to stand up and give reverence to the Lord. You cannot, when you see the see as if nothing is happening to you. No, something must happen to you. I pray that that glory will overtake you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So the Israelite, they worship the Lord. The same Israelite, in what we read, the church, in 2 Chronicles 7, 1 to 3, when the temple was also being dedicated and they saw the glory of the Lord, all of them fell face down and then they worship the Lord. When you see the glory of the Lord, there will be a response. There will be a response. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the New Testament, what happens when you see the glory of the Lord in the New Testament? Matthew chapter 17, verse 4. This one was when our own man called Apostle Peter and then James and then John. And then they were with Jesus Christ at the Transfiguration Mountain. And all of a sudden, they saw that the whole mountain has been bathed with the glory of God. Jesus Christ was shining. And when Jesus Christ was praying, these disciples, PJJ, Peter, James, and John, they were asleep. And then all of a sudden, Peter then saw that, hey, this man that he's always with us, 2 little fishes and then 5 loaves of bread to become plenty for people to eat. He's not an ordinary man as we see you. And then he looked at him and said, hey, Jesus, are you now what I've seen? Hey, we should make here our capital. Hey, Jesus, we don't need to go anywhere. For this thing that is in you, we are rich today. Now we have become multi-millionaires. Jesus, let us build 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We don't need to go anywhere. People will travel far and near to come here. Hallelujah. Read it and see his response. Matthew 17, 4. What did he say? Peter.
Matthew 17, verse 4. Mm-hmm. Peter said to Jesus.
Peter said to Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Lord.
Lord.
It is good for us to be here.
In fact, it is good that today we are here with you.
If you wish.
Hallelujah. That is why sometimes you are very sad when people are very sad, the fact that they have come to church. No. You have to be happy that it is good that today I am here in the presence of God. Hey, Lord, today I will give all that I have to you. Like Zacchaeus. Said, oh, Lord, if I have done wrongly to cheat somebody, I give it four times. Because he has seen the glorified Jesus. Mm-hmm. Continue.
If you wish.
If you wish. Jesus, if you wish. This one, I'm begging, if you wish.
I will put up three shelters.
We will put three shelters here.
One for you.
One for you, Jesus.
One for Moses.
One for Moses.
And one for Elijah.
As for us, don't worry about us. Don't worry about us. Just you people. And then when they come, then we just be taking just the dues, small, small. Hallelujah. That is enough. Don't worry about us. Don't worry about us. So when you see Jesus, the glorified Jesus, your act, I pray that we'll see his glory. In Revelation 1, 12 to 16. Then there's the 17. What did he say? Revelation 1, 17.
Revelation 1, 17. Mm-hmm. When I saw him.
He said that when I saw this glorified Jesus, he described him from the 12 to the 16. Revelation 1, 12 to 16. You see how he described Jesus Christ. He said that when I saw this glorified Jesus,
mm-hmm. I fell at his feet.
He said that I fell at his face.
As though dead.
As though dead.
Then he placed his right
then
hand
Jesus
on me.
Then Jesus placed his hand on
and
him
said,
and said,
do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
I am the first and the
I
last.
I am the first and the last.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. When you fall your prostrate before him, Lord, I don't have anything. I am very weak. You are my strength. He put his hand on you and he said that our strength, thy grace, thy, oh, our, shall we bring the, oh, the, oh,